You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We are back, and always great to say hello again to Spencer Hall. Seems like yesterday we saw Spencer all the time. Spencer, good afternoon. What's up?
Oh, I don't know. Just sitting here trying to figure out exactly what shoe is going to drop next in the investigation into Michigan's sign stealing. Average November 2nd kind of things, Paul.
Well, it seems like from what I read on social media, depending on which network you're aligned with, if you're Fox, Joe Klatt, Colin Cowherd, Clay Travis, Rich Eisen, you defend Harbaugh. If you're ESPN, you're Stephen A. and Greeny, Feinbaum, Heather, Pete Thamel, then you're against, because there's this bigger battle going on about for the future of mankind. So Spencer, you're not really affiliated with any of those. So what do you think?
I think that this isn't done yet, and I think it's the kind of thing where you're going to see a lot of business decisions being made, because it is, one, a very silly scandal. It is very silly at its heart, and by silly, I mean there was, yes, one critical figure. First of all, he's got a ridiculous name. It's Connor Stallions. Like, that's a made-up name. That's an AI name. That's the kind of name that you pick when you want to sign into a hotel and not let anybody know you're there, but also let them know that somebody with a fake name is definitely staying in room 228. Yeah, Connor Stallions. It's also evident that he wasn't alone, and people knew about it there. It also might not be relevant who knew, because according to the Big Ten and NCAA, they're not really going to care too much about that, because they'll just assume all liability for that falls on the head of management. And as silly as it is, it does involve one critical element that I think people need to get into their heads, which is it does mess with the game. There's an advantage that could be had by having a complete set of signals and signs. Is it one that everyone can get? Through some film study, you can get a good number of it. You could come to something which was like a full complete set. Not like this. Not like this, and it would constitute a definite advantage. So, like, yeah, it's real silly. It's real stupid. It's also something that the Big Ten as a conference has to address.
And that's the part that I think we're in right now, has to address. So addressing it means have a couple of conference calls and do what else?
Well, that's a good question, because and anybody listening to this, let me tell you, I can tell you what's going to happen. Okay, to an extent. I'm not in the business of telling you what should happen, because as Paul's already told y'all, there's a lot of people who think this is a big deal. There's a lot of people who think it's nothing, and I kind of land in between. But I can tell you what will happen is that this is going to be a test for the Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti, who's just a newbie in the job, a rookie, a novice, and hasn't really had to engage with anything on this level in terms of controversy or scandal, in terms of doing something, right? And if you go, well, what are they going to do? And I'm like, well, they'll probably make something up. We're all making it up at the college athletics level anyway. That goes with the NCAA. They kind of choose what to enforce, who enforce, and when to enforce it. And they rarely tag big powers. And I don't think the Big Ten will come down super hard on Michigan, because, again, it's one of the two most valuable franchises, and that is the correct word for it, franchises, in the league. The Big Ten is big business. They don't necessarily always want you to know that, but they certainly like the way it looks on their paychecks. So I think they have to do something, because it does potentially affect the core product that everyone pays for, which is football.
Now Spencer, I know you're telling us what is going to happen. So they'll do something, and to the degree of what something is, can you help us better understand that?
Might be, you know, it could be suspension for some of the coaches involved. you know, it could be negotiating with Michigan to get maybe a future bowl ban, if that's the case. Not one that impacts this year, of course, because we're all trying to steer clear of that, because this is Michigan's best season in recent memory. They are an outstanding football team, generally regarded as one of the best two and or three in the country. So they will do something. Will it be somewhat meaningless by punishing a future Michigan team? Yeah, in all likelihood. You hear a lot of cracked things from people who want real draconian punishments, like, well, Michigan, you know, they won't be able to attend the Big Ten championship. That would be stunning. I think that would undermine the value of the Big Ten championship. That's certainly not something that I think the Big Ten is going to want, and it's certainly not something that University of Michigan wants. I do want to say, as a side note, you should start paying attention to stories that you see where you go, sources say punishment's coming. Look at who's writing those, and look at where it's coming from, and look at what it's framed up. I do think there's an effort to indicate a great dissatisfaction among other Big Ten coaches for this, and you kind of want to know who's co-writing or co-signing those in order to make a move. I feel like the Big Ten might be framing a lot of those through the coaches, and by the Big Ten, I mean the commissioner and the people around that, right?
Spencer Hall with us. That was one of the stories of the week, and we knew something would happen. The one we didn't know about occurred Monday night, when I wasn't sure. I was listening to an old tape of Billy Graham quoting the Old Testament, or what, somewhat a guy that used to be among the very best coaches and respected in the country, named Dabo Swinney, arguing with some guy named Tyler. And it seemed like a food fight in the cafeteria in middle school. So what did you make out of Dabo Swinney?
Well, first I want to congratulate Bama fans on having a better grade of sports radio talk show call-in guy, because the legend Pee-wee has a great rapport with Coach Saban.
Right.
They do a lot of good work together. Shouts out to Pee-wee. I just want to say he does fantastic work, and he's a champion of the form. The guy Tyler from Spartanburg really touched a nerve with Dabo, and Dabo, in his defense, did make some very good points, because I think you can make an ugly point, and it's true both ways. I think it's true in both directions when Dabo says that Clemson didn't sniff a championship for 35 years before he got there. That is very true, and I think that's something that he can and should cite as a defense of his management of the program. At the same time, it's real ugly when you say, y'all didn't win anything before I got here, because that puts the eye on you and makes you think you're the program. And I think that's the kind of thing that alienates boosters. I think that's the kind of thing that puts people on their back foot in a way that you may not like if you have two seasons in a row like this. And two seasons in a row like this would definitely put you on a hot seat, even with two national titles in the last 8 years, because we are very much at that level, a what have you done for me lately kind of sports. That is the truth now, and that is exactly what he has taken Clemson to. I think he's a victim of his own of the program's expectations that he's raised. I think he's a victim of his own success, and dealing with that in real time is real hard, especially when you think that people should be grateful during a bad year. That's not how it's going to work when you're making that kind of the money. And to paraphrase Mad Men, that's what the money's for. You should be, if you get paid that much, and it's in your contract that you have to do the dumb little sports talk show where people can just call in and say whatever, then that's frankly on the screener, and that's on Dabo for a lack of patience that he's paid to have.
Spencer Hall with us. Spencer, before you go, I would like to talk about this weekend. Certainly much on the line. Let me sound like one of these sportscasters here trying to build up a game that doesn't need it. When Baton Rouge heads to Tuscaloosa, LSU at Alabama, just discuss this game and really some of the meaning of it for both schools.
Well, I think it's meaningful for LSU in the sense that they are a shoot first and defend later kind of football team that's going to be meeting a defensive team that is somewhat undermined at times by their offense. Jalen Milroe, they finally got him in a spot where he's working pretty well within the Alabama offense. Jaden Daniels, we're not talking enough about what a productive season he's having and how good he's been, because I think LSU with an early loss kind of got off the radar. they've been incredible. Now, they've had to be incredible given the shambolic state of LSU's defense at times. But I really don't care about shoulds. This is how the team is working. And if this team has any sort of real proof of concept, beating Alabama again is going to be the capstone to, okay, this may not be the way that we ideally want a team to work, but this team is working pretty well. And I think that this will be a shootout. I think it is the kind of thing where the swings are going to be real big. If you've noticed, Jalen Milroe, he has a beautiful deep ball, and everything else in between is kind of a negotiation. In soccer, he's what they would call a speculative shooter, all right, an optimistic shooter. You say, hey, I'd really like to hit that intermediate route. I might not. But the deep ball's there. The run game can be there at times, and the defense has been, I think, underrated. So I think, you know, weirdly, we've gotten to LSU and Alabama with two units that I think are still somewhat underrated, the Alabama defense and the LSU offense. I like LSU in this game just because they've been that prolific on offense, and I don't know if Alabama can respond in kind.
A man with an opinion. I interviewed somebody the other day, Spencer, and they told me it could go either way. So this is a step in the right direction.
I mean, you know he's going to remember this anyway, Paul.
You're right.
might as well say it. You know, next five calls will be like, well, he's wrong.
Spencer, when you come on this program, and I know you've done Monday afters back in your old position of doing a live reaction, but you know when you pick against Alabama, nobody in Alabama is marking that one down.
And nor should they. The program, again, Dabo should learn this lesson. The program above the individual.
If you're right, by the way, not this week because it's before the game, but next week on Thursday night, Pee-wee may not be happy with Coach Saban.
But you know what? Coach Saban is actually good at this part of the job, and he's just going to smooth it out. He and Pee-wee are going to get along beautifully because you know what? Nick knows he gets paid a lot of money to talk to a lot of people, and it all doesn't have to mean anything.
He's going to say, Pee-wee, you're absolutely right.
That's right. That's right. Say it with me. I'm just as disturbed by this as you, Pee-wee.
Yes.
We're in the same boat. See, it's that easy, Dabo.
Working every day, and he's not going to quote the Old Testament either. Spencer Hall.
No.
Joining us because he's a New Testament guy, of course. Spencer Hall, thanks for the time. We'll continue right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and Jim is up next.
Hello.
Hey, Jim. Good afternoon.
I've called a couple times, and I've told you a couple of jokes, made you laugh, but I doubt you remember me. So today I got something that'll maybe help you remember. There once was a balding old fella named Paul. One out of 40 times he'd take my call, but the few times we spoke, he would laugh at my jokes, so I didn't mind it at all. Today I called 49 times just to share with him my simple rhymes and to holler go dogs while he hollered roll tide and talk of who'd hold the trophy this time. And I got a quick question. You being a Bama fan, I want you to be honest, really honest. I think Georgia is the most complete team I've seen in a long time. How do you think Bama's chances are in the SEC championship?
I think they would be pretty good, Edgar Allan Poe. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Ryan is in Louisiana. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, Paul? Look, so what's getting me is the strength of schedule, the top 25 ranking. You look at Ohio State, and they're playing Rutgers. Who's Rutgers, for crying out loud? And then if you look at Georgia, which you know Georgia's in the SEC, SEC schedule is more stronger and more tougher than top 10, Pac-10, and all that.
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, I wish Georgia had been able to play Oklahoma. I don't care where they played, but had they played, this conversation would not have been held, and Georgia would be the number one team in the country. But Georgia's schedule is coming back. These next 3 weeks, Georgia's playing really tough opponents, and they will have eradicated all the they had an easy schedule nonsense. I mean, you got number 12 this week, number 10. Tennessee could be higher. The SEC championship game potentially against a top five team. So I'm officially done with all of the Georgia schedule is weak nonsense, especially since Michigan hasn't played a legitimate opponent all year.
But if you look, but when you were on First Take with Stephen A, and Stephen A, when Stephen A told you about hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
When Stephen A agreed about Ohio State, you know, taking Ohio State as number one, that's just crazy. Stephen A, you know.
Well, you have to remember something about Stephen A. He is an expert, but he could probably tell you a little bit more about why LeBron scored 42 last night against the Clippers than he could about college football. Take that for whatever you want. That's just who he is. Jack is up next. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Paul. Mr. Paul, I have a question, and I'm a professor, but I want to make you the professor. At the end of this call, I want you to grade me pass, fail, or not even attempt to grade me.
Okay, sure.
I want to talk about the Alabama coach. An LSU coach. Coach Saban is having the best coaching year he's ever had. Now, that's objective. My coach, okay, lost two games because the Florida State coach outcoached him in the second half. And, we lost Ole Miss because the defensive coordinator, okay, and our coach didn't play like they should have played. I can't stand it, Paul, when you don't take the points when you're on the three-yard line. Coach Kelly, he ran the ball with 27 seconds left on the clock. We should have ran out the clock against Ole Miss, and I want to tell you this, Paul. Mr. Paul, you have a show because of you and the ladies that call who are very objective, and I love listening to them, and the youngins. Keep them on. Now, Paul, I want to tell you one thing. I watch you on SEC Network. I watch them young guns. Tim Tebow, I love all of them on SEC Network. But, Paul, please, you don't talk enough on SEC Network on Saturday. We want to hear what you have to say.
Well,
because they always listen.
Professor, there's a percent. You know, some of that's my fault because a lot of these topics we talked about here all week long, and by the time we get to Saturday, I realize it's a different audience, but I also feel like I've been heard. So I tend to defer to the experts because they are experts. No,
but Paul, they are. They play football. They've been on the field. They have all of those guys, even McElroy. Listen, I'm LSU. Listen, my wife, LSU dental school. My son played LSU basketball. guess who I am? I'm a USL, ULL alum. So I love Napier. Paul, Nick Saban is having his best coaching year. And I didn't like Coach Kelly when he threw our team under the bus. After we
well, Jack, I tell you the thing I would that concerns me about, from a coaching standpoint, I don't want to be critical of a professor, but you're giving out a grade right now before the final exam, if I could be so bold. And
yes, sir.
So I think if Nick Saban gets past this weekend, then he has done really the unthinkable. Now, Kelly, I don't understand what in the world Kelly's been doing on defense, though. I think serious mistakes were made there. I think they were trying to adjust because of circumstances. And the idea to bring Pete Jenkins in the middle of the season blew my mind.
But, Mr. Paul, with all due respect, the Ole Miss game, Coach Kelly coached with arrogance. He thought he was going to win, so he didn't run out the clock.
No, you're right. I agree with that.
Okay? That's like when I can't stand when a coach doesn't take 3 points. Okay, put the points on the board because the final score matters. It doesn't matter what's happened during the game. Now, Mr. Paul, let me tell you something. Nick Saban doesn't need to win the LSU game. He's done what he has to done. Let me do. Paul Bear Bryant is the best coach ever. Nick Saban is the greatest coach living today. And you can't – that's objective because look at his record. I'm an LSU fan. I know we play in Alabama. But let me just tell you. Nick Saban gave us a championship. He's Coach Saban. Not Nick Saban. He's Coach Saban. Okay? Coach. He doesn't need to prove anything. Nothing. He doesn't need to win to prove anything. Listen, Coach, I will give Coach. He is Coach of the Year this year because what he's done. Okay? Because of NIL.
Well, hey, by the way, what do you teach?
Theology.
Okay, well.
Paul, Mr. Paul, listen.
I won't start quoting Thomas Aquinas here, but.
Man for all seasons? Yeah, okay, but anyway. Listen, Mr. Paul, it's a respect. You respect Coach Saban and you respect Coach Dabo. He shouldn't have to defend himself. Listen, it was a disrespectful call and he should have never, ever said anything about it. Coach Dabo record speaks for himself, okay? He's done it, okay? Coach Dabo is a very, very – I live in North Carolina, so I see them all the time, Clemson. Listen, Coach Dabo is a character. He has great character, just like Coach Saban. So it was disrespectful. He should have hung up with the man just like you do when they're disrespectful. So, Paul, listen – Coach Saban is the greatest coach living today. I wish he'll coach just like Bear. Don't retire because Bear Bryant retired and then he died. Coach Bear Bryant is the first face on Mount Rushmore of coaching. And Paul Feinbaum, let me tell you, Mr. Paul, please, them young guns, yes, I heard what you said. Everybody's seeing you. No, Mr. Paul, it's Saturday now. Everybody's off. They need to hear what you said during the week.
Professor, thank you. I'll thank you and head to the break. We'll continue more conversations. I'm not going to give commentary on criticism or praise of myself. We will be back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And we are back. Chris Marlar joining us. Always great to catch up with him before a big college football weekend. Chris, are you okay? I was worried about you. I was reading social media today, and some guy from Cajun country just unloaded on you, and I didn't understand why.
Well, Paul, yeah, it's always great to be back. I know anytime you guys throw out the invitation, you know, I welcome it just with arms wide open, so it's good to be here. But, I was surprised that you just said it was just one, because it seemed like, you know, I threw out some bait, I'll admit it, and I think a lot of people in the Bayou took it. They took it, I won't say seriously, I'll say very much way more serious than they should have.
So let's start with what you said that got everybody upset.
So, you know, I just like to remind LSU fans at times, you know, before this game specifically, because it's a really, really good rivalry. And I think if you look at the 2010s, this was the game that not only decided who won the SEC West, but who won the SEC, and a lot of times who was going to make either the national championship or the college football playoff, sometimes both making the national championship game. But, you know, I just think it's something that, you know, we would be remiss not to remind LSU fans that not only has Bama won 11 of the last 13 games against this team, but, like, you know, all the hatred and vitriol, like the FU Saban chants that we hear from LSU fans, really, you should be thanking Saban, because this is a program that, like, didn't have a pulse before he got there. I mean, you're talking about 8 losing seasons in the 11 years before Saban showed up in Baton Rouge. Really, you should be shaking the fans' hand at every possible chance you get.
So, and that's what you said, and that's where we got the vitriol out. I mean, I read one who's a pretty prominent talk show host down there who just used a guttural, vile profanity directed towards you and essentially telling you to shut up.
Yeah, I think he called me a nerd, which, you know, I get it. It's fair. I mean, I did play college sports, but the glasses kind of throw people off. You know, maybe that's what kind of spawned it. But I think more than anything, I think what probably really caused the reaction was probably like just the innate fear that a lot of LSU fans and former players apparently also have going into this game, because this is a place of nightmares for them.
So let's get to the game, since LSU fans obviously hate your guts. Give us your thoughts as we head toward Tuscaloosa Saturday.
You know, I think honestly it's going to be a really, really good game. Both teams come off a bye week. I think they're kind of trending in the right direction in a lot of ways. From an injury standpoint, I wouldn't say as much. You know, if you're a Bama fan, you're almost kind of, I wouldn't say surprised to be here, but you got to think of some of these games they've had earlier this season. You've got to think there's multiple times where Bama fans have probably sat there sitting there saying, like, you know, you kind of feel like you're 6 feet from the edge and maybe 6 feet ain't so far down, but lo and behold, you make these second half adjustments and you're able to come back to life and really something that's kind of escaped Alabama teams over the past couple of years was these halftime coaching adjustments. And it's been kind of a revelation for this team. I think if you're going into this game, you're really worried about how you're going to be able to stop Jaden Daniels. And if you're a Bama fan, you're kind of looking at what they've done the past couple of weeks with Jalen Milroe and the RPOs and wondering if the playbook is finally going to be fully opened up, where, you know, you see him, some of these RPOs where you don't see him keep the ball as much, and you're kind of thinking, like, let's go there. Let's make out a scheme, see if Tommy Rees can just take us higher up there like in the offensive statistical categories, because that's a place where I think you could really exploit this defense, is making them count for all 11 guys for Alabama's offense.
Talking to Chris Marlar about the weekend, Chris, I'm curious about a couple other games. One in particular, the game in Oxford. It's not getting any attention outside of the two states, but in talking to some people close to the Ole Miss program, there's a level of nervousness about this. I mean, their so-called dream season could literally go up in smoke a week early before they get to Athens. What do you make out of this game?
So I came on this very show, I think in April, and made a joke about A&M and whether they would have a team after the transfer portal and all that kind of stuff. And I will openly apologize to every Aggie fan that I made that joke to, because I think they've had a difficult season that's really – it's kind of stuck to watch. And I know that we all like to give Jimbo a hard time, but I mean, all the injuries they've had, I mean, quarterback especially, and then you lose 3 of your front 7. I think that A&M's going to go win this game this weekend. And the main reason why is, you know, there's statistical stuff that you look at and you're like, oh, man, A&M hasn't covered as a 3-point underdog in I think the last 6 years. They haven't covered a spread like that since 2017, which is kind of crazy. At the same time, when you look at Ole Miss, there's a reason why Vegas has this line at 3. And I wonder if the maturity of Lane Kiffin is going to affect the outcome of this, because one, is Ole Miss going to look ahead to that matchup next week against UGA, which is a lot more alluring of a matchup and seemingly way more on the line. But the other side is, like, we've only seen him do this one time this year where he kind of showed his immaturity, where he starts trolling and talking trash to the media and his press conferences and social media and all that kind of stuff. And it was against Alabama. And that's a team that came out and looked like they were pretty unfocused. And a lot of teams take on the character of their head coach. And I wonder if that's what's going to happen this weekend. I'm not saying, you know, it's a lock or anything like that, but I think that's a scary game if you're an Ole Miss fan. I kind of lean towards the fact that A&M's going to go upset them in Oxford.
But Chris, in Kiffin's defense, he has been unusually – he had that one line at his press conference the other day. But other than that, this has been an uncharacteristically lame lane this week.
That's fair. That's all fair. I like the way you phrased that too, Paul. That's good. But I do wonder, like – The Vegas stuff is what would worry me the most, because they just, you know, like that old saying, they didn't build this billion-dollar hotel in the middle of the desert out of nothing. And for this line to open at 3, especially as a home game, very surprising.
But conversely, the Alabama game, I think it came out at 6 and now it's hovering at 3. Does that say anything or does that mean anything?
I think it definitely does. I think this is the lowest I believe, line that you've seen in this rivalry in the last decade plus. I think even the 2019 game, I think that was a 5.5-point spread. Listen, I've kind of trolled LSU fans and given them a lot of grief and stuff like that, but I think this is a really good spot for them, because I think this is a team with LSU where if you're being honest, like they're not done with what could still happen this season, right? Like all of their goals could still be in front of them theoretically, and I don't think they're out of the national championship race. I mean, if you're closing out November and you're talking about going like beating Alabama on the road, not only does that put Jaden Daniels firmly at the front of the Heisman contention, but also you're going to be in the driver's seat to get to Atlanta, and this is a team that I think could challenge Georgia despite how bad their defense is. This could be, you know, the catalyst of that entire run that they could possibly go on.
Chris, by the way, I mean, you're a great commentator, but you don't really do your own trolling justice. What Chris actually said that made everybody in LSU upset with him, including T-Bob, to call him a blanking nerd, was this. He said, "It always blows my mind that LSU fans still hate Nick Saban. I mean, they had 8 losing seasons in 11 years before he got there and gave that poverty program a pulse. 8, I'd be grateful, but that's just me." So I just want to make sure people understood you were being very, very humble and gracious about your own troll.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, Paul. And I'll tell you right now, if anyone in LSU is upset about it, I'm going to tell you right now, Tyler, I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to apologize. I'll pull the Dabo all day.
Chris Maher, ending on a predictable note. We'll take a short break. Back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and Frank is up next in Delaware. Hey, Frank.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
I'm calling in reference to the selection committee. I've been watching them now for like 2 or 3 years, and I got to tell you, they love the Big Ten. There's no doubt about it. They love the Big Ten. anytime they play close games, like Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State, they don't even move them. They don't move them at all. And Penn State lost. They didn't belong on the field a couple of weeks ago against Ohio State. And they, when they lost, they only dropped a couple spots. So this has been going on now for 2 or 3 years. Take, for example, last year when Alabama lost 2 games by 1 point each time in the last few seconds. They were right there at number 5. Ohio State got beat before touchdowns. They should have dropped from 2nd all the way to like 6 or 7. That didn't happen. They dropped to 4. This is the things that go on in the selection committee. You got to watch these guys. You got to keep your eye on them every week. And they were the only team probably should have got in there with 2 losses with Alabama the week. You know, they were a pretty good team.
But I'm not sure Alabama should have gotten in there over Ohio State. They probably should have gotten in there over TCU.
And there's another, exactly. They should have been out. But when you lose with 4 touchdowns, Paul, what does that say about
you? No, I hear you, but TCU was a thin team anyway. Hey, thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. Daryl is in Baton Rouge. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Paul. How you making out today, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good, good, good. You know, Chris Mahler is playing this nose on your face while everybody hates Saban. And he knows this. It's not because he left to go to the pros. It's like because when he came back, he went to our biggest rival. He went to Alabama. He ought to be able to see that, don't you think?
Yeah, but when Saban came back, LSU didn't have an opening.
True.
What was he supposed to do? Say I don't want to go to Alabama. I'd rather go to LSU, but Les Miles is on the verge of a national championship there, so I think I'll just stay where I'll just be unemployed.
No, not at all. I'm just saying that if he'd have went anywhere but Alabama, there wouldn't be any hate for him. No, he's supposed to take a job when he can get a job. It's just the way it worked out. You understand? It's just the way
No, I understand. I remember covering that story. I always felt Saban had a torch for LSU that it was a different, I'm not saying he hasn't had a great run at Alabama. It's the greatest run in college football history. But there was something really special about Saban and Baton Rouge. And I remember the first game when LSU came to Alabama in 2007. Saban told me that he had about 6 people staying with him from Baton Rouge. I mean, that's how close the friendships were. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Stephanie is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Yes, I'm born and raised in Louisiana. I've always been a big LSU fan. I actually went to the game when they won the national championship in 2003 with Nick Saban. And referring to some of the fans' last comments also, I mean, I could see why, you know, a lot of Louisiana people and LSU fans hate on Nick Saban because, you know, he is a great coach, and I will give him that. As much as Alabama has always been a big rival for us, I was reading up the history about it, and our first game against Alabama, LSU, that is, was in 1895, I believe. Yeah, it was 1895, and LSU actually won that game, and ever since, we've always been one of y'all's biggest rivals, and I always look forward to playing y'all every year. Always, it's, you know, hate week. Last year, I actually went to the game. I hadn't been in years, and I took my boyfriend, who's actually from Alabama, and played there. And he had never been to Death Valley. He had been to games in the Superdome when the national championship, when Alabama won and whatnot. But we went to that game last year when that was an intense, very intense game, and we won at the very end in overtime. And that was one of the probably the best days ever of my life. His not so much. But anyhow, he was like revenge this year, and he got tickets for us to both go to the game. And he's going, and I told him I couldn't go, but I might drive up there and just surprise him. So either way, I think it's going to be a very, very close game. And I look forward to it. I mean, either way, I think I'm a little worried. The defense, some of our defense players are hurt. And even though we have a great offense and our quarterback, Jaden Daniels, is amazing. He's up for the Heisman Trophy, as you know. I just think that it is going to be a very tight-knit game. And I still say go Tigers. But, you know, we'll see at the end of the day.
Hey, thanks, Stephanie. I hope you have a great weekend down there. Bo is up next in Alabama. Hello, Bo.
Well, how are you today?
We are doing well.
Excellent. The gentleman that called, I guess it was probably three calls or two calls back. I'm curious what you find is the case. What is it with ESPN in Ohio State? How is it that they're shimmied into number one? And like the gentleman said, got beat and shows up again. What is it?
Well, Bo, it has nothing to do with the network, because the network doesn't select who's number one. It's this committee, and the committee based it on the strength of schedule right now, that Ohio State has beaten Notre Dame on the road and beaten Penn State. Now, if you understand the College Football Playoff Committee, it will change in a couple of weeks. But I think Georgia should have been number one, but I don't think it was that big of a deal. And I think Georgia ultimately could be number one. But it's all about how you look and who you play. We're up against a break. We have Mike Griffith coming up here in just a few minutes. Pete Thamel on the Harbaugh investigation later, and more of your phone calls.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.